I met a man named Jesus.
Yeah.
The cripple. What's up? I met a guy named Jesus. You go home, my dear friends. The woman at the well, of the woman with the issue of blood. The list goes on. All of them had to say one thing in common. It was Jesus that did it. The woman who had the issue of blood, she said, "Know what? I spent all I had. And I didn't get no better. I got worse." But then I heard about Jesus. And I said to myself, I'm about to have a spell all by myself. I said to myself, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, then I'll be made whole. And she got through that crowd. There's always some folks in the way. But when she got through that crowd and she touched the hem of his garment, my dear friends, she was made whole. Who did this? Jesus. These folks came to hear Jesus. My dear friends, if you come this morning, I pray with all my heart and my soul, you've not come to hear a mere man. You've not come to hear a mere choir, but you've come to hear from heaven above as God speaks to your heart and God speaks to your soul. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody said, "Preacher, you all right?" Yeah. Watch this. The Bible goes on to say this, my friends. And the Pharisees, there they go. And the scribes. The word Pharisees, I put that word up here. It also means this. It means exclusively religious. When you're exclusively religious, you know, you're floating on the air. When you walk in the room, you don't touch the floor. You're just floating. You're just moving, just floating by. Exclusively religious. Then you have the scribes. Those are the ones who are sort of like the secretary, so to speak, or the writers. These were who these folks were. These were folks who knew the Old Testament. Do you know that some folks know the Word, but the words don't really know them? Who is the Word? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word what? Was God. So, my dear friends, you might be able to quote Genesis or all the books of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You can tell that there's 66 books in the Bible. You know that there's 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. You may know all the apostles' names are in order, are correctly. You might know how to pronounce their names and all these great things. But my soul, do you have a heart for the lost? Do you have a heart for the hurting? Do you have a heart for those who are bleeding spiritually on the inside? Or are we so focused on the do's and the don'ts, my dear friends, that we overlook the needs of the people? The sign says, looking for who? The wounded. In our men's meeting, had a great time in our men's meeting yesterday. And one of the things we mentioned was something that Warren Wiersbe said. He says, are you known by what you oppose or what you propose? Sometimes you miss one person's name and all of a sudden you know everything they're against. But what are they for? Well, I know, yeah, he gets that. They don't like this. No, oh, yeah, he can't. But is that what you're known for? A lot of times when folks think about church, what they think about is this, my friends. Come for a minute, Brett. This is what they think about. This is a lot of times in their mind. They think this when they think about church. They think about, and won't you button that up? You all messed up. You're buttoning that there. Right. So yeah, there you go. This is what they think, you know. You know, you're like this, you know. Just walk, you know. That's what they think. They think church. You know, they, well, I don't know. I mean, they all, you know. I mean, they think rigid. They think no flexibility. But my friends, when you read the Word of God, you see all throughout the Bible, it says again, rejoice, 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 rejoice. Now I'm going to tell you what, my friends, it's kind of hard to rejoice like this. Sometimes I pick on the choir sometimes, and I pick on a little kid sometimes. I like smile. Amen. I mean, if you're saying up here, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. Oh, really? I mean, my soul. I mean, if I'm singing that song, I'm like, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. I mean, you're excited, hey, man. I mean, you're not dry. You're not dead, but you're excited, my friends, because somebody on the inside and they're working on the outside of your life. Oh, hallelujah. But when the Pharisees and the scribes came, the Bible says they what? Murmured. That word murmured in this verse means to complain throughout a crowd. That's bad. It's one thing when, Sister Sharon, when you complain. But when you complain throughout the crowd, why does pastor have to, why you got that? Why you doing that? Why he got them folks up there? Why he letting them do this? Why they shouldn't be, they should sit in the back. Matter of fact, they should probably sit on the outside with a speaker. I mean, I don't understand what's going on. And when you murmur throughout the crowd, it's almost like you're trying to incite a riot. Incite a crowd. You know, I mean, a lot of times, my dear friends, it's unfortunate, but you go in some of the places of worship, and what you find is more of this between the brethren and to us fighting the devil. So I'm not your enemy. I'm your brother, okay? Our enemy is Satan, my dear friend. We got an enemy. We don't need to be shooting at one another. But a lot of times, my dear friends, we're fighting one another, or we're trying to stab one another, we're trying to cut one another, and I'm sure our daddy in heaven must be excited, smiling, and happy. Oh, look at my kids. I mean, Brett, you know, when Michael and Jeremiah get to fighting and stuff, and Faith jumps in, doesn't that make you happy? You mean you're not happy when your kids aren't fighting? Oh, I think you'd be like, whoa, get him, Jeremiah. Michael, kick him. Come on. Well, I'm sure then our daddy's not doing that either, amen. He's not up in heaven saying, okay, Brett, go over there and slap Bill Pace upside the head. Bill Pace, come on. Bill, I mean, God's not happy about that. You know what God said? You know what? Like we do as parents. Y'all stop fighting. Yeah. And shake hands. Come here, Faith, for a minute. Come here, Jeremiah. I mean, Michael, y'all blood, come up here. By the way, y'all hear, did y'all hear by faith?
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Faith got saved the other day, amen. Yeah. Amen. And Brett had to tell you about that. They was reading the Bible. She said, I want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And then she wound up getting saved, okay? So here she is. This is your brother, ain't it? This is your middle brother? Yeah. This your sister? Yeah. Y'all okay? Yeah. Y'all having a good day? Yeah. Did she bother you today? No. What about yesterday? Yeah. What, did she tell you she was sorry? Did she tell you she was sorry? Mm-hmm. Did you tell me you were sorry?
Yeah.
She said she told you she was sorry. You remember that? Mm-hmm. You don't remember. But let's say that she hadn't said she was sorry. Okay, let's pretend she hadn't said she was sorry. So you know what? What you do if they was, let's say they was fighting. They was going at it, you know. And they were, boom, 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 boom. And she was, pow. I mean, all right there. You come in and say, y'all stop that. And you say, Michael, Faith, y'all shake hands. Then y'all, now give each other a hug. Oh. Come on, Michael. Did you hug him, Michael? Hug him. Michael, hug. There you go. This is good. So that's how we do. God said, y'all make up. We be like, what is that? That ain't no hug. Amen. That's like, he told me to do it. So I'm gonna go ahead and do it. No, God wants us to hug, my dear friend. God wants us to love each other because we're supposed to be a reflection of our Father. And the Bible says that God is what? Love. We all want, thank you guys. We all, give him a hand, guys. Thank y'all. Amen. We all know that little verse, God is love. But isn't it amazing that we don't practice that which our God is? But you have that love in your heart. By the way, if you're saved, you do know you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So because you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that means, my dear friends, that the fruit of the Spirit is inside of you. And part of that fruit, the Bible says, is love. Oh, there's another one they call peace. Ain't that amazing? Peace and love. But notice what's not in there. Verse 2. Murmuring. That is not, I know some folks, they think that's the fruit of the Spirit. We suppose somebody's got to complain. I mean, somebody's got to murmur. No! You ain't got to. Instead, my dear friends, if you got a problem, a fault with your brother, the Bible says, do what? Pray for that brother. And the Bible also says that if there's a bigger issue, go to that brother. But we'll go over, that's another message. Amen. Anyhow, the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, and they said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He is receiving these sinful people. They're full of sin. And he is not only does he receive them, which means to, like this, accept them. It also means to admit, to allow, to look for, wait for, to receive to oneself. All them sinful people. And he receives them to himself. The opposite of what we do as believers. We do as the Pharisees and the scribes. Instead of receiving, we're repelling. We're pushing away. And he said, no. You got that messed up. And then the Bible said, I'm talking about the cause for this parable. The cause or the reason why he gave this parable, because here you have some folks that was murmuring, that were complaining about these sinful, wicked, awful people, which they themselves were also. Because the Bible says, Jesus said later on, or right before this, whatever, he said, you know what? They got the outside clean, but they're full of dead men's bones. They might look all on the outside, but they're all messed up on the inside. We have to get that inside straightened out. And by the way, it's not up to us to straighten it out. God does it straighten it out when we come to him and he straightens us out. Now watch this. Verse 3 said, and he spake this parable unto them. He gave them this comparison. So that leads us to our second point. We see the cause for the parable. Now we see the comparing of the parable. The first thing he says is this. In verse number 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and travel after that which is lost until he what? Find it. So what we see under here, my friends, is the pursuit of the sheep. So you know what? When you lose one, you go and you pursue it. Do you know what? When many of us got away from God, do you know what he began to do? Pursue us. He came after us. Some of us was out there in the taverns, and some of us were out there, my friends, in the all kinds of places. Some of us was in the drug houses. Some of us was in the alleys and snorting that coke and smoking that dope. Some of us, my dear friends, was out there gambling. But you know what? He came by looking for us. Many times he came by for me. I've been snorting so much cocaine and my heart starts about to beat out my chest, Sister Sharon, and all of a sudden I've been, you used to do that, don't you? Oh, God. Lord, I'll never. No more. Just your heart. Just start going. This. And you think you're about to die. What's happening? To me, he's pursuing me. Saying, this is not what you need. That will destroy your life. It will destroy your home. It will destroy your family. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy you. And God pursues us. He wants us to come back home. That flesh says, no! But he's coming back home. He pursues us. He comes after us. But not only that, my dear friends, as he pursues us, hallelujah, he'll keep on until this. He preciously finds us. We see the precious find of the sheep. Verse 5 says, and when he hath, found it, he laid it on his shoulders rejoicing. When he hath found it, when he finds us, when he comes where we are to get us, the Bible says he does something else. He does what? The Bible says he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. There we see the picking up of the sheep. He done found us. Then he picks us up. Come for a minute, Mike. Is he okay today? You all right, bud? You all right, man? All right. Well, I need you to help me out. You got your preacher shoes on? Yeah, all right. He comes by. He said he picks him up and he puts him on his shoulder. Yeah. He He carries us. Now there's many reasons why he may be carrying that sheep. One of the reasons might be because he had to break the sheep's legs. So sometimes we don't come willingly. Something had to break our legs. Then he would put that sheep on his shoulder. They have to carry it around with him. But nonetheless, one thing he does, my dear friends, he picks us up. And he carries. You ain't asleep, are you, Mike? You all right back there? He with us? Okay, all right. He's a good sheep. Bad. But listen, he carries us. I remember one day he came by where I was at and picked me up. And he carried me to Galilean Baptist Church in Norcross, Georgia. And when he carried me, I was broken. But at the same time, I had a little attitude. You know, I walked in there. What they going to do? What they want? Somebody say something, they feel a froggy jump. I had that. We going to be, oh, man, you resting ain't this. This is a good sermon for you, ain't it, buddy? I came in there, and I'm like, you know, we down in Georgia. And in case I didn't know it, I'm black and growing white. And so we come down that church in Georgia, and it's a predominantly white church. And we in Georgia. This is 1987. I mean, 89. And I'm getting old. Anyhow, we come to that church, and I'm like, you know, somebody going to have a problem. You know, I had my earrings, I had my ponytail. I'm up, and I'm coming down from Chi-Town. What's up? You know? Well, I didn't know that there was somebody waiting on me. Called the Holy Ghost. He was waiting on me. Dr. Moore got there to preach. Y'all heard this, but I'm enjoying telling it. Dr. Moore came to preach, and I'd never heard a white man preach before. I thought I was going to be like a priest. You know, because, you know, we watch TV, and most time back then, they would just show the priest. And I figured he would get up there, and he was going to, I didn't even know, that was, I don't know it's going to shock y'all. I'm ignorant. But at that time, I didn't know there was white Baptist. When I met your Lee, she was a Baptist. You're Baptist? I mean, all the white folks I knew growing up in Chicago were Catholic, you know, the black people, we was either Pentecostal or Baptist, and then the Hispanics, they were Catholic, or they was Pentecostal or something like that. I didn't know they were white Baptists. So here I am, and this Baptist church is all white folks. And so here he is. He comes and preaches. So I figured he was going to be, I am for a surprise. Doc got to preaching, and all of a sudden I'm like, man, he's preaching with excitement. He's preaching with energy, but he's also preaching with content. It wasn't just excitement. He was saying something. And my dear friends, as he preached, he got the platform was higher than this. He was, and of course, he's a little bit shorter. He came to that platform and he pulled one pants leg up and he pulled the other one up and he got to going and I'm sitting there like this. I mean, the Holy Ghost was grabbing a hold of me and tearing me apart. When we left that church, I got that Suzuki Sidekick we just bought. I wish we had thought about buying it after we got back in church, because that's no story. I got in that Suzuki Sidekick, 1989, brand new. And I was like this. I was like, man, what's wrong with me? I was just shaking. I was just trembling. So I didn't know anything about Holy Ghost conviction. But there I was just shaking, I was just trembling. And then I came back that night, we came back, and the assistant pastor was preaching. But he had the same Holy Ghost power. He got to preaching. The next thing I knew, my friends, I came down that aisle. I didn't care who was there. I got my knees and I was trying, snot was slinging, but I didn't care. I was crying out to God, get me some help. Woo! Hallelujah. Went back to work on Monday and I was different. I wasn't trying to be different. Just was different. God was doing a work inside of me. What are you talking about, preacher? The Holy Ghost was having a party on the inside of my soul. My family was excited. I got to call my mom and call my dad, call my grandmother. I don't know if y'all was overseas or not. Y'all was overseas. I would call folks, tell them what had happened. But you know what I was doing? And I also asked them, tell me, how was it when you got saved? Yeah. I was witnessing too. Didn't even know it. What are you saying, preacher? Something took place. Something began to happen because somebody was pursuing me. There's somebody pursuing you. You know, preacher, I'm saying I'm going to heaven. But let me ask you, have you backslid in the father's house? See, the elder brother was backslidden and he hadn't left home. So we got a lot of folks that's in the church that's backslidden. But now, they still go through the motions. But still, my heart is not where it needs to be at, my friends. The heart is not where it ought to be at. And then we have a God that's pursuing them. A God, my friends, that's tracking them down. When he begins to track you down, you know what you do? You just let him pick you up. And watch this. We see the pursuit of the sheep. We see the precious finding of the sheep, the picking up of the sheep. And then we see the party for the sheep. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 5, and when he had found him, he laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. That word rejoicing means to have joy. It means to be glad. Then the Bible says this, and when he cometh home, he got to his house, his family, the temple, he called together, he assembled his friends and his neighbors and saying to them, rejoice with me. Why? For I found, I've obtained my sheep. Oh, which was lost. That word which was lost, it means to be destroyed. My sheep was destroyed. My sheep was beaten up. But I found them. And now that I found them, I want you to rejoice with me. I want us to have a party. Watch what he goes on to say in verse 7. I say unto you that likewise, in this same way, joy, rejoicing shall be in heaven over one sinner. One sinful person, one devoted to sin, that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So you know what? Just like he had a party for that sheep that he found, there's joy in heaven when one comes back to the Father's house. Let me break this down for you. We're done. Look what he says here. This word here, repenteth in verse number 7, it means to think differently, to reconsider. And that word repentance, the last part there, verse 7, that word, that means reversal or change of mind. Now, we know that you change your mind about Christ when you receive him as your Savior. But do you know, my dear friends, after you've been saved, after you've been blood bought and born again, you also need, in a sense, a reversal of the way that you think about certain things. And my dear friends, when all of a sudden you have that reversal about what you think about certain things, you know what happens? That brings joy up in heaven. When you and I begin to say, you know what? I used to think this way about this, but now I'm going to change. And I like things this. I love what I'm hearing from God's word. You know what happens? They get excited up in heaven, my friends, when you and I begin to have a reversal of our mind and our thinking, which affects our behavior as well. See, if Brett said he loved his wife, and let's say that he said he loved her, but he never showed it. But then he began to think about that thing. And say, you know what? I may not just say that I love Stephanie, but I need to show Stephanie that I love her. He's thinking differently. And his thinking differently is going to be reflected in his actions. If we say, my dear friends, you know what? I think it's about time that I get back in the house of God. I think it's about time I get right with God. And then we stop just thinking about it and we start putting it into action. Because you do know we got a real life enemy, right? And as soon as you make that commitment, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start praying like I need to pray. I'm going to start doing these things like I know that God would have me to do. You've got an enemy, my dear friends, just waiting to pull you in a different direction. And when he comes to pull you in a different direction, you know what you do? Come on, come here, Brett. You know what you do? Then what you do? You get your black boxing gloves on. When that enemy comes, I'm in. Yeah, you're the enemy. Me, the preacher. What you do? When that enemy comes, what's that? You don't want to do this. In the old school, you don't want to do this here. Wait a minute. in one jab. But now that's how some of us do. The devil come our way, and he want to fight. He come and say, we said, we don't fight. We ain't angry. You ain't gonna be, man, you know who you're dealing with. I kill you up. I bust you upside the head. I bust you up. I will bust you up. And he's doing just like Brett doing, smiling. But when you finally connect, you want me to hit him hard? You gave me $20. I'm just trying to see how much I need to do. But when you connect, he'll feel that. How you connect? When you do go to the church, wham, you connect. When you do get your knees bent and pray to talk to God, wham, you connect. When you do testify about the Lord Jesus Christ, wham, you connect. And my dear friends, they do a combo. I mean, I tell you what, you get the whoop up on me. He said, well, I better leave him alone for a little while. You might be tired like I am now, but it'd be a good tired. It'd be a good tired. Some of us need to stop talking about what we're going to do and start what? Start doing it. Because we got a real life enemy, my friends, who is doing his best to stop us in any way that he can. But once we start doing those things that God would have us to do, you know what that's called? Part of time. There's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be excitement. By the way, not just excitement with yourself and God, but also others around you will be excited. Now, there's going to be some who are going to murmur. That's all right. It's okay. Let them murmur. It's all good. God knows how to handle the murmurers. But you just make sure that you don't get in that mess yourself. And you keep on rejoicing and praising God. I got two questions. I'm done. First question is this. Have you wandered from God's house? Or let me put it this way. Have you wandered away from Him? You're not as close to Him as you used to be. You're not as excited about the things of God like you used to be. Is that where you are today? Second question is this. Do you need to come back like that sheep to the fold? Do you need to come back to the fold? Do you know what? When you realize you have that need, then you know what you'll do? If you're sick, you'll go to a physician. And you'll say, listen, I need some help. I've got some headaches, head problems spiritually. I've got some heartaches. I got some heart problems spiritually. I've got some foot aches. I've got some walking problems spiritually. I've been walking to the wrong places. I've got some hand issues, and I've been grabbing a hold of things that I shouldn't be grabbing a hold of. I've got some speech issues. I've been saying things I shouldn't be saying. I've got some eye problems. I've been looking at some things I shouldn't be looking at. I need your help. Do you know what he'll do? He'll help you. But you know what you got to do? One word. What is it? He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All about the Bible. He says, come. And that's what comes down to this. What choice will you and I make? Here's my statement. Jesus is pursuing or searching for you. The question is, will you respond? Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings this morning. I've tried my best to give out your word to these precious souls that have gathered here today. And God, perhaps, first of all, there's somebody here that's not saved. They're not blood-bought and born again. But, Father, they need to come and trust your Son as their Savior. Then, God, perhaps there's somebody that's a part of the family. They're here. They belong to you, God. They're one of your children. Lord, you love on them. But yet, God, they've wandered from you. And they've been sitting right here in the house of God. But they have to confess. You know, I'm backslidden in a lot of areas of my life. I pray, God, they come and talk to you. Perhaps, God, there's some folks who need to come for other reasons I've not mentioned. Somebody just need to come and just listen to you. Somebody want to come and simply say this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for coming to get me. Thank you, Lord, for wrapping your arms around me. Thank you for picking me up when I was down. I pray, God, they come and simply say thank you. Perhaps, God, there's people want to come for other reasons that's unknown to my mind, but not unknown to you. I pray, God, they'd come. Whatever it is, Father, help us to respond. And help us, God, to get the help that you want to give us. Help somebody. Of course, in your Son's name we pray. Jesus,
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand.